part poem I'm working on called In the Absence of Boundaries. This is part one, Prelude, and it's really inspired by looking out to sea where there are no boundaries, no limitations, looking right out into infinity. Prelude. Can't see. Born on the cusp of the western wind, Persephone emerged from tips of white thorn. Tight buds unfurling from winter silence, she awakens, stretches the ocean's hem as if searching for a new boundary. Above, a swan paints the sky with its wing. A cathedral cannot hold such beauty within its walls, nor Aphrodite in her flesh. Red sails pierce the sun, waves enter and leave, reconnoitre as unwanted guests. I long to be nameless, to scatter reason with my ashes, to touch and untouch without explanation or remorse. I long to sleep in your eyes, watch flowers grow in your palms, taste your lost words that drift unread in every direction. In the distance, a clock transcends beyond the periphery of existence. Its fingers play the second movement of an afterlife, and I began to listen.
This isn't one of my own. This is a called Sun. It's by Allen Ginsberg. The weight of the world is love. Under the burden of solitude, under the burden of dissatisfaction, the weight we carry is love. Who can deny? In dreams, it touches the body. In thought, constructs a miracle. In imagination, anguishes till born in human. Looks out of the heart, burning with purity. For the burden of life is love. We carry the weight wearily, and so must rest in the arms of love at last. Must rest in the arms of love. No rest without love. No sleep without dreams of love. Be mad or chill, obsessed with angels and machines. The final wish is love. Cannot be bitter. Cannot deny. Cannot withhold if denied. The weight is too heavy. Must give, for no return as thought is given in solitude and all the excellence of its excess. The warm bodies shine together in the darkness. The hand moves to the centre of the flesh. The skin trembles in happiness. And the soul comes joyful to the eye. Yes. Yes, that's what I wanted. I always wanted to return to the body where I was born.
Thanks a lot, Jim. So, to further the tributes to our friend and a dear friend, Owen Murray, whom this night has been celebrated. We have John Tracy up to the mic.
It's untitled. You sent it to me a couple of months ago, so I was telling them I was having trouble writing my own stuff, but I can write music. So he sent me lyrics and said, you know, try some music with that. I haven't written music, but I will. It's coming, but for now, we have his words. If I'm foolish with you, please understand, it's because I am true, and I don't need to check every action. It's not often the case, I hope you can see, that I'm finding a grace while I'm falling, and I'm learning to stand while I float. My baby cares enough for me. She cares, and so I care for my baby. But of course you're a woman, not even a girl, though your mind seems to drop everything that you catch. No, I'm not being fair when I say these half-truths. To see you is wonder, to hear you is proof. And I drop everything, all plans for today, when you sing and tenders the feeling as I smile inside the womb, born out of your song, crying in the light of a new bright star. My baby cares enough for me. She cares, and so I care for my baby.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you, John. That was from Nikki Bird.
Hello. I'm also going to read a poem of Owen's because, this is the first poem that I heard from him. We were like sending videos to Bobby McFerrin or something, and the deadline was midnight, we had 10 minutes to write a song. We're like, what do we do? I didn't know him so well, and I was like, you've definitely got words. And he was like, actually, I have a poem in my pocket. And he ripped this bad boy out, and we were like, yeah, that's the one. I can't read it as well as him, because, yeah, the accent and the voice and everything, but hopefully you'll be able to hear it through the words. I also wanted to say, I don't know if somebody said it before, this guy, but I know Charles Bukowski once said that an intellectual is somebody who says a simple thing hard, and an artist is something who says a hard thing simple. And for that like reason, I think Owen was one of the truest artists that I've ever known. Swollen beer mats, while one ear listens to idle talk with idle friends who are going places. He's in a room full of people who are talking to people about other people. After cheap booze, they will go outside and then queue to go inside again, upstairs this time. They will join a queue of people who are waiting to score with other people, or they could dance with people who dance with people on crowded floors through crowded doors, and they like it when they hear their song. Yeah, they like the hollow beats that resonate with every shape they make. And a hot song's life is exactly that of a boner's, with some cosmetic help. And he knows this, and he asks himself, we're not going to see something happen. See the world change, see naked bodies, naked souls on stage, because that's gay and full of odds. No, you can't pull there, lad. And the scene will still be going strong as long as people like to go outside and go inside and dance the turning disc they occupy. Thank you.
Yeah, we're gonna hear some more of Owen later on. And right now we're gonna have Julian Sullivan. Thanks a lot.
Hi, everybody. This is a haiku sequence written for a multimedia event. So it was with music. I live in Nagoya, Japan, and I walked around the park and wrote these over a month, just thinking of the memories of when I first moved there. Kind of an expatriate feeling. Chilly night, maintaining international telephone currents with a safety pin. A shadow on the station tiles. Do you have to be someplace? Let's have a beer. Black bean soup, lime lime tongue, cayenne to the top. Pacific soury, smell of the ocean in my dishwater. A white moth in the squash vines, wind in my ear shell. Two monarch butterflies circle round and round. Come and play. Tomare. A late night meal at Bardi Bardia. A late night friend. Half a horse chestnut shell. A broken black umbrella. Giving up the ghost. A young boy fluffs a Pomeranian's tail, the color of pampas grass plumes. Loneliness, the two photographers in the park stalk each other. Cheap wine in a porcelain teacup, pulsing white daisies. Autumn rain, memory of catching frogs without fear. A foreign photographer, the way the light shines through another red maple. Mixed marinated mushrooms, his mother knows my age before he does. Hanami lanterns, a homeless man moves in under the trees. An old woman's trudge, the worn down teeth of her Shiba. The cold time, my neighbor cries out the same time as me. Autumn leaves, a homeless man spills all his coins. Mottai nai. Picking briars from my cardigan, where have I been? A Google search for Yom Kippur observances, his homesick eyes.
Almost nothing to do with it, but I just want to say well done to all the friends of all who've been reading his work, his amazing work. The Ghost Spice Shop haunts Strawbridge Street. People think it's a hat shop, but I smell either a curling round of pleasing retro displays, fuming from a discerning hipster's skirts, it clots and brims and dents of Homburgs and fedoras. There's cardamom in the air, snarl of mustard, holy basil, the mandarin smirk of five spice, sweet Sicily, sumac. The of rose petals giggles, tins of allspice and mixed spice clash at arm's length. I would buy arrowroot, sacks of cassia bark, drag them back to my flat and host the post-colonial tea, if they weren't preternatural to me. The fellow who ran this place was Bangladeshi, and he's flitting behind the ostrich-feathered brunette at the till. Did she go to Loretto? Snakes through her small bowl, hovers below a salt and pepper berry, decked with barberry flowers, wonders why he wasn't picked up, into the cycle of rebirth, then tried the sage fascinator adorned with phallic cloves. Satin and silk should whiff of turmeric and lime, be saffron and yurt, scarlet as a Buddhist monk browned into paprika. The millinery isn't its thing. Hats are for the special days of heaven, communions and royal weddings. Spice is his business, the last pungent vapour of his mutable world.
Another tribute, or just kind of sneaking in there. I don't know if we didn't really coordinate. Well, I didn't really coordinate with anyone else reading out his stuff. So if anyone else is reading out a poem of Owen's called Plus, it's the plus symbol. Now's your chance to object. Okay. So this was a poem that Owen shared with me years ago. He shared a document with me on Google Drive, so it's the Google Doc, and I still have his comments on it. We're collaborating. Owen was a talented writer for my reasons. Years ago, when I first got to know him, he was very, very skilled with the short form poetry. In later years, I noticed he did go longer form. But when I first knew him, he did a lot of short form stuff, and this is kind of what it was like. I only tapped in. To how high I could go. By seeing the low. And coming out. That was a poem by Owen Murray. I also have another poem that I've written about Owen. I wrote it today and yesterday. I found out he died yesterday, and I started writing it quite about an hour after that, and I finished it about, I don't know, 15 minutes ago. So this is called For Owen. Well, my friend, you're gone. There's no hidden subclauses leading to a sudden quick snap reverse decision, no trapdoor to escape from the truth. No deus ex machina endings here. You are really gone.
Okay.
How did you go? Why? What were your last thoughts? In your last moments of consciousness, were you scared? Relieved? Happy? Apathetic? Did you want the company of family or friends who loved you? Or did you want to be alone? I'll understand if you did. I may get some answers, but most of my questions are plates thrown and smashed on the walls of my mind to be pulled to the air when the lights are down. Speaking of walls, remember my poem on walls? I sent it to you when you were in hospital and you showed it to the other people in the ward, and they all loved it, or so you said. Look, it doesn't matter if that was true, Owen. You knew saying that would make my day. That small compliments led to astronomically big outcomes when they push someone to keep creating. You see, you encouraged people, others like me, to keep making art. We are positive comments, yeah, but more so in the way you lived your life, which seemed to me, as an outsider, to be one long band practice, jamming out all our feelings together, or one long acting rehearsal when we forget we were acting and we'd simply just be our characters indefinitely. Or knowing you was like one long night spent writing stories and poems till our eyes bled tears. Oh, and I can't separate you from art, because everything about you, everything you did, seemed to be art. And there was pain in you, that somehow you never needed to explain this to me. I could see it as keenly as I felt my own, though there were moments when it was plainer. Maybe it was the way you left the pub that night, when we went to Arthur Main's, like you had heavy thoughts in the wake of a life chapter, a mix of bruised feelings, embarrassment and regret, or the stench of burnt opportunities the sobered, socially awkward person knows well. How well I've known that stiffness myself, anxiety, depression, and then those other conditions I couldn't relate to, that you told me you struggled with daily. One day, maybe I'll understand. You always did write yourself down, even when your writing lifted me and others up, made me want to be a better poet, a better person. I don't know why you left the pub that night, the last night I saw you alive, but I know I couldn't find you afterwards. My questions about that night, along with all the other questions I never asked you, will have to remain unanswered. You know, I'd always imagined you'd always be here, you know, on tables just over here, table just there, or over in the back where we'd hide and talk about how we're so cool as a joke, because we're regulars or something. Oh yeah, we've been there, we'd seen before. 5 words in 10, 15 minutes? Come on. Owen, you and I could shit a poem in 5 minutes with 15 words. But did either of us ever know where we'd really go? Where would we really go with this poetry business? I don't think it mattered. It never mattered where we were going. Just that we were kept walking there together. The reason I still do this is to get through the hard times by connecting with others. And you were one of those irreplaceable connections. What would you say to me if you were speaking from beyond the grave? Well, look, this is an old game, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. But I honestly think you'd tell me to keep writing, to keep playing with words, and you'd say the same to your friends for all their respective arts. To keep reaching out because there's others who are hurting too. Maybe they could use words like the ones you gave to me. To be honest, it feels like you're still around, just far away. I saw you lowered into the grave, but it's like you went on a long holiday, and I missed the opportunity to hug you before you left. But what I wouldn't do to hug you, tell you, Owen, you're my friend and I love you. I just wish I could have said goodbye and show you that you were here. You were part of something, and it mattered. You mattered. Owen, I'm not a praying man, as well you knew. I saw the priest today saying you had a new life in heaven. I don't begrudge others that comfort, but I don't need to say I'll see you again. Because I knew you, and that was enough for me. You were a part of this life, and you always will be. You'll be in the lines I write daily, or wake up for a quick ovale. You'll be the eyes of every portrait I draw, and every musical scale I play. One day, if I'm so lucky, I don't need to see you again, but who knows, maybe our withered atoms will play and together we'll share a place in the same star. Long after we're both dead and the universe has churned out more wonderful people just like you. Until I remember you every day, my friend Owen Murray. Your friends won't forget you.
One must ask the economists, what price is a soul? One has a fair idea of the prices of bodies, minds, lifetimes, but what of the unique indwelling spirit and its worth? Does it just come for free with the aforementioned, or is there a debt created, a bond of obligation made when you take on another soul? But all this is not a bargain in the old term of the market, for the soul is also, until death, inalienable. The market in souls is a market in sharing. How we share, let souls rub against each other, burnishing and smoothing, reciprocating, slowly being made for each other, soul mates at last. Thank you.
Read a short story, but I'm just going to read this instead. To be honest, I didn't know Owen for very long, but he's very good. He's very good. He's amazing. He's amazing. It was said all already, and he's just amazing. And this poem looks depressing, but it's actually supposed to be positive. And it has two of my favorite song titles at the end, and I just hope this will be good enough for tonight. It's not my nocturnal mind that manipulates me, or so moved by shining glimmer display. Instead, it's that I wait for any sign of extinct nymph, man met with silence that resonates in my ear. I start to misplace my strengths, the low dissipates. I sit in the sound of silence, but why not enjoy the silence? Thank you.
Archaeology. Autumn, and creatures make for their silent civilizations, except moles, who continue to deepen their philosophy of Earth. With sieve and trowel, they too try to figure it. I'm usually okay until about Wednesday, when I feel another week begin to collapse. My doctor assures me it is only necrophobia. He writes a script for the hallucinations, but my fear of asphyxiation persists. He says I need to be more sociable, tells me he spends his free time with his wife. Like the chemicals we are, he believes love transcends life, and that tomorrows grow from the festival of poppies erupting from her grave. I return to the margins of my trench, exhume and label a leaf-shaped flint, the thigh bone of a child. Later, in a dimly lit room, I try to reconstruct a life, slide open glass-lidded drawers, rebury my discoveries, the reflection of a face.
Richard Hawtrey.
This poem is called Come Down So, and is based on an ancient Irish poem from the 7th century. Come down so to reach for us, perfect center, gatherer up. Come to hallow chosen knowing, come as friend, at our frenetic grazing in elite arenas, come, freely spoken love, come silence, shoaling tacit skeins of wonder. No halt now for rest in secrets, hue and cry towards the hidden, turtle doves inside your nest.
We've got a few, so we're going to keep it short. Yeah, but it's just a long story. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Lord. This is for my friendship won and lost. It's called Brian. A departure never rings as true. A second-hand shrapnel burns the soul. Even though silence was the best option, truth now at home creeped into intransigence. Do you remember the misspent time frames? The conversations on sundry at worthy the air. Monstrosity of a vending machine dispensing with various boxes starting to empty as required. Quoting Derek and Clivens constantly. Sociological arguments back and forth. Library and marriage of heart and design. Arguing from hubris, a flash plan desired. Eruptions, interruptions by text abound. Or sites to suit me too. No tsunami, earthquake or otherwise can budge either of us from our positions. The magic wand needs recharging. The same vitriol stands out in a no man's land, a revelation of what you can be, at times now lost. Life goes on, despite its acridity. Harboring lost love and information, denied in last second, an honesty stalled. Eaten by pride, or at least condescendence, over pints paid for, a friendship doomed. Thank you.
I was going to read, but I only learned about 10 minutes ago who Owen was. Everybody was talking about Owen, and I knew Owen, and I was so fond of him. And it's just heartbreaking that I wasn't at the funeral. You know, I really would have loved to have been there, because when the lightning bug was happening, he came over to me and he just was so open and honest and real, and it's unbelievable that he's gone. I just can't, you know, so I don't feel I could read anything at all. But it's beautiful that you all have obviously come together and did this beautiful tribute. And I just add my voice to that. He was just a lovely, lovely person. So wherever he is, may he rest in peace.
Geraldine Dorgan, please.
I recently walked away from a bad marriage, having spent 25 years there. And I wrote this poem about 10 years ago, and I'm asking you to bear with me because I feel I need to get this off my chest. And it's called Romancing the Spirits. 20 past midnight, screech of tires, send stones flying or not, tiptoes or thunders, burst the bedroom door in, throws on the overhead light, slips beside her, amber light from the landing as guide, pulls a strand of stray head and hair and bends to kiss, pulls her hair from the roots and bends to beat, seals the magic of the moment in embrace, drags her body towards the kitchen in his haste. The vapours from his breath tell tales. He's been romancing the spirits tonight. What do you call this? Carrots, crockery and peas, mosaiced in moments. Cook me a fresh one. Peeling potatoes in pyjamas. Grab glass, flame describes descending wood. His temper erupts, spitting lava of abuse through body yellow teeth. Vein throbbing in his head keeps beat with a monologue of madness. Meal devoured in moments, animal somewhat sated, pounces, goes in for the kill. Lunges, grabs her in a headlock, neck extended, ready to be pulled. Chicken. Who's the boss and who's the bitch here? No need for Knuckles to drive home this lesson. Automatic response, rote learned. Staked upon the barbed wire of her consciousness, delicate as ball cotton. His swagger sends him heaving till he vomits. Tomorrow, she will reassemble the vestibules of domestic peace. Now, before the kids arrive down for school, see it in the half light of morning. Tomorrow, he will buy her flowers. And then she reverses. Tomorrow, you will buy her flowers. And see it in the half light of morning. Before the kids arrive down for school. Now she will reassemble the vestibules of domestic bliss till he vomits, sends him heaving, his swagger sends him weaving. Delicate as bog cotton, staked upon the barbed wire of her consciousness, automatic response road learned, no need for Knuckles to drive home this lesson. Chicken, neck extended, ready to be pulled, lunges grabs her in a headlock, Keith being beat with the monologue of madness. Vein throbs in his forehead. Meal devoured in moments. Lunges, goes in for the kill. Animal, somewhat sated. Spitting lava of abuse through butty yellow teeth. His temper erupts. Gas vein describes descending mood. Peeling potatoes and pyjamas. Cook me a fresh one. Carrots, crockery and peas, mosaic in moments. What do you call that shite? He's been romancing the spirits tonight. The vapors from his breath tell tales. Drags her body towards the kitchen in his haste. Seals the magic of the moment in embrace. Pulls her hair from roots and bends to beat. Pulls a strand of stray hair and bends to kiss. Slips beside her, the light from the landing his guide. Bursts in the door, throwing on the overhead light. Tiptoes, thunders. Screech of tires sends stone flying.
Well done. If not, Harriet, please, I'm going to sleep for about a minute each now.
I don't know, Owen, but I'd like to read this poem on the death of my father. He died in 1969, a long time ago, and I wrote the poem about 20 years ago. Something drove me back out of that last blazing row to say, "No hard feelings, Dad." And I'm grateful for it now, that small, mysterious voice that made me touch your brow the last time I saw you. I wept when I heard the news far away in another place. I never thought I'd weep, but the mysterious mind of race must have its own reasons. Though seldom I recall your face, I know we've made our peace. Everyone saw you as a sociable rogue, the great man for the old crack, typical of your land and time. But your sober moods were black. A street angel, house devil. Well, anyone can lose the track. So who am I to criticize? Again, I say, no hard feelings, my father. Thanks.
James O'Leary.
We
now own parts together. And we have matching dressing gowns. We are tying our lives together, in a way. And I'm not even sure if elephants have knees. I don't know not to put tins in the microwave. I mistrust salad and asking for help. Lately, I've been hanging out in homeware departments, finding grey hairs and making classified ads. Looking for fellow misanthrope. If interested, leave me alone. Because I do want to be alone with you. Building our lives involves stubbing our toes on boxes and unpacking. And unpacking, have I mentioned. You are not the woman of my dreams. If you were, you would be made of spiders and spit teeth because my dreams are fucked. You are safety when I wake up in the dark.
Couple
acts to go now, Cedric next. This bit is the fourth statement of a sci-fi story I was trying to write. We'll go with a quick summary. Basically, a lady named Carrie went out into the wild for some reason, just trying to find something, maybe for herself or for the others, she's not quite sure. And she lost herself in the way on the way there, and breaking her equipment and being stranded in nature. A squad was dispatched to find her, and they were slaughtered by nature and the creatures that just pretty much came for revenge on mankind's treatment. The last of the survivors of the last statement was the Captain Carl, but he did not actually survive. He was able to contact her and to speak to her for a last time, and died shortly after. So this part is now when Carl is already dead and Carrie is remaining alone with the body. Carrie sat, sullen. Science, the accumulation of knowledge, has taught her that when the body shuts down, it was just a system that ceased to function. Yet, she felt compelled to silence. Another one had died. Carl, the captain of the squad. That was all she had ever known of him. He was never friendly to her, but she cried for him out of guilt. Would more come to die here in search for her? Would they be crushed by the real and only master of this place? Omnipotent, omnipresent. So much that even her body was being colonized. Carl's last words were an apology. To whom? To her? She felt burdened. All sorts of creatures would be here soon to dispose of the cold flesh and blood. As weak as she had become during those 16 cycles out here, Carrie could not shake the idea that she owed him a better hand. Her own time was almost up. The fungus showing on her face rooted deeply in her system. Digging a grave would not help it. Each stroke of that improvised spade convinced her that she was grateful in that last mission. She was not the pioneer of her growth she once thought herself when she left the shelter. She was the tombstone, legacy of a dwindling mankind with the wrong mindset. She now wanted to fix it with the kind of love for him that they should have had for everything, respect. Carrie used one hand of the exoskeleton to mark his car's grave. It cloth down. One knee on the ground, one hand on her chest, she prayed. Many of those who follow do better, know better than they have. She would not last, but her last forces would be dedicated to make this place special. Hopefully, it would resonate in humanity's future as a mark of progress. This would be the echo of the Mayflower.
Really quick acts to finish up tonight. And we got to thank the Long Valley for letting us stay along. It's been really, but it's been fantastic. And so thank you. You've been unbelievable. Say something when you're trying to cram like talent into like trying to keep fitting into a room like this. We're gonna have Brian Cunningham and Max Sweden to come up and do a really quick one after another, and then we're gonna have one more tribute to Owen. Thank you, Owen, for this night, because it's been fantastic.
So, my first time hearing this to all friends there, sorry to hear about your friends, Owen. Mind yourselves, I suppose, you know. Not, I suppose, but anyway, look, so first time hearing it was. Weeping on my pillow, I don't leave it there though. It's my daughter's birthday, it should be joyous, but it's another bit of hurt there. Cry baby, maybe, I'm crazy. Society's perception of media helps destroy us. But I'm my own man, I'm a father, and when I see her and when I don't, I would rather, but that's life. I was an over virgin until now. It's been cool, it's been nearing, and it's nearing the end of the night. Woman, rest in peace, sound like a great poet, sleep tight. Dreams take place in and at the strangest of times, but who am I to argue with? It's getting late. Will I cry tonight? Maybe a little bit, but it'll always dream.
Welcome. Please come back.
I think that maybe we just skip it. Just we all miss Cullen, our Owen's beautiful, quirky humour, and I just say Sulis Shiri Rahan. That's it.
Should we have Bob outside and Michelle will come up to your tribute?
Sorry for your last lesson. I don't know if the fella that, but I can definitely feel your hurt. And so I just want to offer you a little bit of comedy, just for the crack. Sorry. So this is something that I wrote after a fella told me that I shouldn't rap because I'm a country. So I said, I better embrace the old colloquialisms and being a culture, otherwise I'll have a very hard road ahead of me, you know? So, it's B to the U to the BBA. I'm hitting you up, man, the old school way. How you capin'? What's the crack? Are you able? Jesus, Bubba, do you sound like that? I don't pronounce my T's at all. Actually, it depends where it falls. If it's before a H, the words won't be great, cause I won't say them at all. Now this, that, them, these and those, that's the way the country TH goes. It gets all the bures out of their clothes, and when I say well, everyone knows it means hello. Ask me, how am I keeping? I won't say well back, I'll do the head thing. Tell all the old fellas when you see them that Bubba said there's a grand stretch in the evening. Well, how are you getting on today? Asher, we're all just tipping away. Do you like this? Jesus, I do. Tis the finest. We're tipping away, tipping away, tipping away now. Tipping away, tipping away, tipping away. Tipping away, tipping away, tipping away. Will you please clarify what you're trying to say? Because that could be anything, like tipping cows over at night. or telling a friend the horse will win, or levying a charge on wasteful people's bins. Tipping away, tipping away, tipping away now. Tipping away, tipping away, tipping away now. Tipping away, tipping away, tipping away. How you getting on, you crater? Are you tipping waiters? Getting excited, cause you're going for a spin downtown. You realise there's one street and no one's around. Rage. I've nothing to do, I've no one to see, sure? I'll go home and have a cup of tea. Yeah, we're not fighting boredom at all, cause we're supping on a mug of scald. Oh, that's class. In the countryside, we do it like that. Drinking tea, drinking tea, drinking tea now. Drinking tea, drinking tea, drinking tea now. Drinking tea, drinking tea, drinking tea. Smoking a lot of fags all day. Rolling down the street, smoking Benson. Drinking tea and tea. Laid back with my mind on my hurley and my hurley on my mind. Do you want a hurley and ball? Go on, play it off the wall. Do you want a hurley and ball? I do. Go on, play it off the wall. Well, how are you getting on today? Asher, we're all just tipping away. Do you like this? Jesus, lad, tis the finest.
We needed that as a I just got two short poems by Owen and then another one by myself that I wanted to do for him. But these ones are just kind of, we were emailing each other's poems, each other's poetry, and he was the only person I really felt safe doing it with, the only one who seemed obvious to do it with, and he sent me one called Fitzy Park Session, so he was just writing down things he was thinking in Fitz Park. And they're spot on, like. This one is called Freedom and Control. And then they're just, I'll leave out the times, but he's put times, like, what he was thinking at that time. So we put the time in. But that doesn't rhyme on, so. I lost my mind. I let it go, and I ended up in hospital. Now, like a mother loves her child, I never let it out of my sight. You can never be alone. Death and life are projections of the mind onto the blank reality. Let nothing be afraid, be afraid of nothing. The final act of gratitude, there is no such thing. Go now and pick up rubbish in the park. From the funeral there today, I just learned that you can take the smallest things as reasons to be brave. And I was never brave enough to do this when Owen was around, so I have stiff whiskey now and Owen said he liked his bones. Isn't it enough? This is one called, like, Patagonian Clockwork. And she told me the universe wasn't a machine, but a morphic pot on the street outside in a yellow raincoat. Heaters above us kept splintered time in irregular clacks and slipped into dormancy like harbored crawlers, and our words expanded inside the unwarmed space that created sins between the resolving beats that are never tangible. Because I've lost ideas and found them again, lying awake in the spaces I had checked. Four eyes bright like mornings, pointing and connected. You see, there is another world. We just build it sideways, gradually, and away from up. Orchestrated by an effervescent pulse, but never conducted. But it's so it's like anything but clockwork. It makes like a chorus of glowing links threaded within a mosaic of cogs, and then back out again. A meadow of winds punctuated by consciousness. It sleeps with its boots on good days. But on good days, it pads around the house like a quiet thing in socks. Balancing tilted frames and aligning our corners, it harmonises with the wall. This tall light song exists aware and indifferent, compost mentis on stilts in the temple. It feels changed like the pinch of a velvet cuff hanging off an empty jacket as it walks past. The lights of Patagonia run green and invisible, still and conscious, just like everything else, that skips and sleeps the contracted beats and lies awake above the hollow of my neck in the loose blackness of Tibetan cord. Anticipated but never waiting, these passive rhythms glow with luminous fragility and travel up the sleeves of loaded yellow raincoats with eyes like crescents to catch the falling rain. And I'd just like to read one more, if that's okay. It's very short, it's one of Owen's. I agreed with him completely when I read it first and he was alive, but now I'd have to disagree with him, and I'm sure you will as well. It's called Everybody Wants You. Everybody will ask you to play drums if you play drums. You will get invites to auditions if you act. If you play GAA and miss a training, you'll get a call from a coach asking, where were you?
Nobody will ask you to poetry, and if you don't show up to write, nobody will miss it. I know we'll miss it. Achieved only at the center of loneliness where a battle occurs. And to all of us, inwards, in other words, when unarmed and harmless against a thousand versions of yourself, and just when you can't take any more of it, a stressed out stranger smiling says, take this, and this, and these three times daily, and if you suppose the dosage too low, when you still see worlds at windows of wards, then maybe you're just not swallowing any of this. It may be that your old soul knows that there's more to those who do not decide to feel, but that then they decide to speak. To those who breathe to speak at all, to those who struggle to, as a thousand of themselves, lying at the jawbone to hold their ripple roof, their capable tongue. To those who share pieces of themselves to attain peace itself. Thank you, Owen, for knowing, and for prescribing us all with your whole self. Seeing the rippling effect of your death is to me today seeing the swarming effect of the creative outlets driven by the rightful importance you gave them. And they will continue to ripple in the direction you set them when you dropped in. We love you, we love you, we love you. And for you, we will not forget to love ourselves. We will not stop getting to know you as we learn, as we continue to learn to express.
Thank everybody who read, and I'd like to thank Owen for having us. I'd like to thank our guest poet, Adam. Butterfly imagery turned around today around death, and one butterfly image that came to my mind was how a storm can start at the flap of a wing, and I think that's the kind of life that Owen led. And when his wings flapped, his snide is kind of like the storm that happened. I think it's only fitting that these are the last words that I heard tonight. It's called I Feel Sad. It's a new year. I feel sad. All my friends were out last night. I feel sad. I stayed in. I feel sad. The night before, I didn't get the girl. I feel sad. I feel lonely. I haven't had a girl since the summer. I feel lonely. And I know, and I don't know, is lonely a feeling or a state of being? And matters of the mind distract me from this feeling.
and talking is the default when it comes, or when I want to reach a woman, and it gets boring very quickly. She has red hair, I feel sad with a blue streak. Her lips curl as she speaks, her eyes are open warmly in their blue, cool makeup. I am calm, but I want to jump with them into a river. I want to lock them with my own. I want to curl against her body. I want a woman like that. I want her. I feel sad. She's sort of hooking up with my friend from a new course. I feel sad. She doesn't know how she feels for him. I feel sad. I heard she was real into me. I feel sad. I don't normally like a woman in this way. I feel. I don't normally want a woman in this way. I feel sad. I get headaches. They used to get real big. Irritations on the skin would nail their way through my skull quite frequently. I feel a numbing and a pain and another nail again. Then they would pass and I'd feel sad, oh so sad. I'd cry in public places for about a day. I'd feel this way until the headaches come again. They stopped writing too, it hurt me in the head. A blockage in the brain, a snail sitting between me, my skull and creativity. I started new, a new course, maths. I find it hard in this condition. I find it hard in any other. All worthwhile requires effort. And life can be so worthless, but not really. I never really lost the will to be alive. I thought about it countless times. Dead is surely just another way to be. But never can I say, have I ever wanted to die? I have only ever wanted life.